Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, June 23rd. As you noticed from the intro, Tori, we bid her farewell Wednesday, and she's moving on to some amazing things. So we'll keep you guys posted when she can release and actually reveal what she's doing. She had to keep it under wraps, so we only know bits and pieces. I try to put a puzzle together, but I still don't have all the pieces together. But nevertheless, we're continuing on with the show, which has gone on for almost 10 years now. And today I'm joined by a special guest co-host, Deanna. Welcome to the show, Deanna.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Are you really?
I'm excited too.
I was looking forward to it. Always like to meet new people, new talent, you know, new anything, situations, energies, you know, things like that.
Definitely.
So it's always exciting. And so I welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining me. Feel comfortable.
Thank you for having me.
No need to be nervous or anything. We don't eat people here.
Great. Good to know.
Yeah, there you go, you know.
Yeah.
it's a fear-free zone here.
I was a little worried about that when I walked in.
Yeah, right? You didn't know. But I have to, I'll tell you all the things about the show. But obviously, so you asked me about language, and we don't really give a fuck about what people think.
Oh, we that's say what my we favorite.
Were. Yeah.
Perfect.
So, in fact, when I started the station, our tagline is we say what we want.
Okay.
And that's because I realized, you know, doing radio on the internet, we don't have FCC regulations. We don't have any of that because we're not using public airwaves, you know.
Right.
So you're not bound by all these rules of, like, language and things like
so
that.
So this is the real thing. It's the real
exactly.
Version of radio.
Exactly.
Finally.
This is how it's supposed to talk.
Great.
What's funny is they used to pick DJs and hosts based on their voices.
Okay.
You know, like a long time ago, it's like in radio, first of all, you have to have a good voice. Then we'll worry about enunciation, and then we'll talk about content.
Mm-hmm.
So today, content is the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
You know, here you can see it doesn't matter how people talk. Everybody's got an opinion. A lot of interesting people in this town. We only have, 4 million?
That's
like
so
not
impressive.
A lot, right? That's more than some countries, you
know? I
have
to agree with you, though. Like, content is so important nowadays, especially with everyone posting so much on social media. There's, like, podcasts popping up everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, if the content's not good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, who cares about the voice, you know?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, I mean, even people with accents can do shows.
Yeah. It's like, you know... I've watched the Wonder Woman movie. Have you watched it?
Oh, not yet. Is it good? I mean, did you think it was good?
The most amazing film. And
really?
I don't watch that many movies. I'm not so much of a movie person, which is crazy in LA.
Right.
But she is Israeli, actually, the main actress, and she kept her Israeli accent.
I know. That's what I heard.
It's amazing.
And that's probably because they wanted her to seem like an Amazon, right? Like a foreigner.
Exactly. Like, they speak so many languages that they have this kind of accent. And I think they made everyone else kind of adopt her accent.
Okay.
But I thought it was amazing that they didn't train her to be American, you know?
I know. Well, I think they did a little bit. I think her accent is probably thicker than that. But I don't know. But I do know that often actors, I mean, even British actors, they come here, they speak American English because they have speech coaches and
stuff.
Yeah,
they do speech therapy as well.
Yeah, yeah. And they show you how to actually speak with the right accent, you know? So I tried it, but maybe I was with the wrong guy. It didn't work very well. But then I only did it for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So.
And you gave up.
Yeah, I gave up. And people told me, why are you doing this? You know, you have a unique voice, a unique accent. Just keep it.
Yeah,
and I thought, okay, I'll embrace it, you know.
Definitely.
Why sound like everybody else? That's one thing I realized as I grew up and wisened in my my years, is that, you know, when you're young, you try to fit in, right?
Yeah.
As a teenager, you want to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
You want to fit in. You don't want to be bullied. You don't want to be picked out as the different one and so forth, right?
Definitely.
So it's tough as far as your teenage years. But then you grow older, and in business too and in life, you realize I can't be like everybody else because nobody will notice me.
100%.
I got to be different. I got to be unique. I got to be original.
I have the same. So my accent, you might think it's English.
Yes.
But actually it's kind of affected because I grew up in Switzerland and I went to like an American school and now I live in LA. Like my accent is all over the place.
Mixed,
and I
okay.
used to be so self-conscious about it.
Uh-huh.
And now that I'm kind of a grown up, a little bit, I just don't care anymore. I
yeah,
just embrace
exactly.
it. I'm not ashamed of it. You know, you have to kind of own who you are and what you are.
You really do, you know, and I agree with you. And you see, and that's the thing is that other people think accents are great.
Yeah.
So, you know, why are we complaining about it if other people think it's awesome?
Well,
you know?
There's two people with accents in right. the room today. So.
Right. No, exactly. But you know what? I think what bothers us is when somebody immediately asks you, where are you from? You know,
yeah.
when you speak American English, people don't ask you that right away.
Exactly.
You know, although I'm always interested what state, what city people are from and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So that's always interesting. But you don't ask it because of the accent, you know.
What really annoys me is that most people ask me, are you from Australia?
Oh, really?
And I'm like, no.
And that's so different, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell when you're an American.
I know.
Or you're not an English-speaking speaker. You know, you think, okay, England,
yeah.
South Africa, Australia. These are like the British-like accents, you know?
Definitely.
And maybe Irish and Scottish and all that, but
they're not as common here,
right.
I feel.
Right,
I feel
right.
like there's a lot of Australians. There's a lot of UK people, but because I'm affected, no one knows where I'm from. I'm like, where are you from?
So British people probably notice it right away the most, right?
So, yeah, I mean, some people, it depends where you're from in the UK.
Right.
People definitely can hear that I've been in the UK for a while, but no one really knows where from in the UK.
Wow, how cool is that? So you see, that's a unique accent.
Yeah.
And that's probably what Gal Gadot has, you know, the Wonder Woman.
I love her accent. I love her. You know what? Most people say her name wrong.
Uh-huh.
They say Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot or whatever it is that they say.
That's true, right?
Sorry, this is a really bad American impression. But I love how you actually got the pronunciation.
Yeah, well, it's an Israeli name, Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Yeah, there you go.
Yay!
So you were telling me you just came back from Israel?
Yeah, I was here over Passover.
Uh-huh. You mean there over...
Sorry. Oh, I still feel like I'm in Israel.
Right? Isn't that funny when we say it sometimes? I know. So you were there for Passover.
Yeah, with my family.
How cool. Do you have family in Israel too?
So my uncle lives there, and my family likes to go once a year for Passover because, I don't know, I just feel so good when I'm there. I feel like I'm a part of something.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And did you get a chance to travel around there at all? How long were you there?
I was only there for 10 days. And you know, it's like a 15-hour flight from LA.
Yes.
So I was kind of over the whole traveling thing. I was like, oh gosh, I just wanted. I was.
Yeah. But I mean, did you travel in Israel a lot? Like maybe bus trips or car trips?
No.
Like
so that time I didn't. But back in the day, because I'm so old.
You're so old, right? Yeah. People should see her. She looks 13, but you're beautiful, and you know, my daughter also looks very young too because she's tiny. You know, she's 27. People think she's 16.
You know, I suffer from like being small because people don't take you. Seriously.
That's true, right? They think you're too young.
When they're like, oh, are you okay, sweetie? And I'm like, no, I'm not a sweetie.
That's funny.
So I did back in the day when I was really young. I went to Jerusalem. I went to the Dead Sea, which was amazing. If you haven't been to Israel, you should go to the Dead Sea.
Right.
It's just so amazing there. And I feel like every year I go and the country's like evolving. There's always new things happening. They're evolving so fast.
That's true, right? And I think Israel is really a modern wonder.
Yeah.
You know, that
definitely.
In like 70 years, look how far they've come after persecution for thousands of years, you know.
Definitely.
Without a military, without a country, without anything, the Jews managed to survive. And shine, not
definitely.
Just survive, you know.
And you know when you drive to wherever you're going from the airport, you know, Israel used to be the desert, and right. now you see all these trees, and they've like managed to, I don't know, they've made so much out of nothing.
They really have, you
and
know.
When I get there, I get so emotional. I'm like, this is so amazing.
Nice to be part of the tribe, right?
Definitely. I love the tribe.
But you know what? The thing is that if you really, when you're in Israel, you really learn like Jewish and Israeli history.
Yes.
And they teach you how they really make it emotional about, you know, how there are heroes that have led battles and things like that and
yeah.
And won major battles. So these are like the characters, the heroes of history.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets very interesting when you go around there and they tell you about what happened there during the wars and
yeah.
during the independence war and stuff like that. You kind of connect with it, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history there,
and I feel so safe when I'm there. You know, most people who haven't been, they always ask me, aren't you scared when you go there, the war and everything? And when I fly El Al, I just feel the safest I've ever been on a plane. And I'm
true, right?
so scared of flying. I hate flying.
I know. I've become like that, you know. That's
yeah.
funny though, right?
But I feel
have you always hated flying?
It got worse when I turned about 18.
Yeah, right?
I used to be okay, and then all that stuff started happening, and then I got really paranoid, especially during turbulence.
Right, I know. You see, I'm like that too, and I think the more you fly, the more scared you get.
Yeah, everyone's like, you'll get used to it, and I'm like, no, it just gets worse.
Right, you know, and then you hear about stories of major turbulence, people getting injured, and it's not even the injury, but the thought that you're going to die, you know.
It's the thought that, if anything happens, there's nothing you can do.
Right, and it's not an immediate death. That's the scary. If you
it's
think
a painful one,
or if you have to dive into the ocean, you know what I'm saying. If the plane dives into the ocean, you have a couple minutes to really think
that's
about. I'm dying.
We're
now.
Talking about something really dark here, but the thing that scares me, it's not the actual death. I'm not scared of dying.
Right.
I'm scared of dying in pain.
Right. But who cares? Because you'll be dead afterwards, right? Who cares?
Yeah, but I don't want my last seconds in this world.
I know.
Why are we talking about this? This is depressing. Well,
okay,
it's
I'll
morning.
Go. I'll go to something else. We'll go back to good things about Israel. But
definitely.
Did you ever wonder why people have fought for so many thousands of years for Jerusalem? What is it about Jerusalem that people fight about all the time?
Honestly, to me, this is a very personal answer. I'm not trying to be like mega political.
And that's
here.
What I'm asking. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's not like there's a right or wrong answer. I'm just wondering.
I just think that Israelis have done such an amazing job at making something amazing out of nothing.
Right.
And I do think that people envy that.
Envy that.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's
thank
what
you.
I think.
That's the politically incorrect thing to say. But
yeah.
but if you want to know the reason in the Middle East, is one side wants the other one dead. And why? Envy. And if you don't believe that, but you know what? So it's not just Israel, but Jews in general,
mm-hmm.
You know, have just been persecuted all the time. You
yeah.
know, so now you have that. But my point is not even Jews, but and I'm mm-hmm. talking like over the millennia, really, not just the centuries.
Yeah,
everybody wants to control Jerusalem. I mean, it was
yeah.
Babylonians and Greeks and Romans mm-hmm. and Persians and then Christians and Muslims and for Jews, it's a very holy place.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it? You know, and nobody can give an answer. My spiritual answer is that Jerusalem is like where this world connects with the spiritual world above.
Yes.
I think this
history.
Is the pipe. This is the pipe to the heavens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what Jerusalem is.
But people are going to say, oh, you're only saying that because you're Jewish. And I
but
get
no,
that.
No, but
I
all,
get that.
No, not really. Because all the religions are thinking that Jerusalem is a very special place. I'm not saying it's necessarily special for Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it is for everybody. And my question is,
spiritual.
I'm fascinated. There's no other place in the world where people want it so bad that they'll fight and kill each other for. So what is it about that place, you know? And that's what I'm saying. I think spiritually people know that is like how you connect with God. You don't get much closer to God than that, you know?
I have to
for
agree.
Religion.
And
reason.
it's crazy because you don't feel it as much in the US, I feel. But I lived in Paris for a year during the riots. This was like the time of the riots.
How long? Or what years was it?
It was in 2014 and 15.
Okay. I remember
so
that.
So it was so bad.
Right.
And you know, when you're in America, you can proudly say, I'm Jewish, and nothing will really happen to you, I feel.
Right. You're pretty safe.
You're pretty safe. People are very open-minded and accepting, and I love that about the U.S.
Right.
But in Paris, I remember during the riots, people would come up to me and be like, where are you from? Who are you? Are you Jewish?
Really?
And I don't, if you could see what I look like, I don't really look that Jewish, which is crazy because, I mean, I really felt that, you know, we weren't safe.
Right.
I didn't feel safe.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in France, and there has been for a while. Probably at least partly because of the growing Islamic population there.
Yeah.
I don't know, but...
But we're in Paris. And I get that all of this is happening, and I understand, but this is Paris. This is France.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. But look, that's part of that religion, is to spread it... around the world and make everybody into a Muslim. And if you don't believe that, read the Quran, you know.
Yeah.
But and we say things here, and you know, and we've invited Muslims to come here, mm-hmm. give maybe their side of the story, but you know, from what we're seeing, at least there's obviously a lot of problems, and
I don't
people are
say
afraid
Muslims because I have
so
best
you
friends.
Say Islamists, maybe.
Yeah, because I have best friends who are Muslims.
Absolutely,
and I
absolutely.
Love them.
And you know, when you look at them, you go, "Wait a minute, they're a family just like me." You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I agree.
Yeah, we have very similar religions. We have very similar traditions. We share the same land, essentially.
Right.
You know, I think it's kind of, we're talking about all of this stuff about Israel. It's still important to say, you know, Muslims are not essentially like the problem to us.
Right, right. You know? That's the extremists.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I felt like I wanted to say that.
No, you should. And Tori would have said the same thing because you guys are liberal, right? You're pretty liberal?
Pretty
okay,
much.
Okay, so there you go. That's, the younger generation, I think. Mm-hmm. As you grow older, you become more conservative, at least in my experience. But,
I think our generation is definitely more reformed, I think, towards religion and towards everything. Everyone's, I feel like... Our generation is a bit more open-minded,
right?
Even though these issues are still very much present,
right? No, definitely. I mean, look, there's a lot of progress lately, but it's not just this young generation. But it happened, I think, since the '60s, where people started wanting to be more free with sex, with drugs, with everything, you know.
Yeah.
And so that process has gone on for a long time, always with young people,
mm-hmm.
but.
We evolve in the best way.
I know. And especially in a world, this is going to be a tough world for the younger generation.
I'm worried for my future kids.
Right?
My sister has two kids. She's pregnant with a third baby. She's so sweet. And I love them, and I see they're the cutest kids ever. But I'm worried, like, they grow up with iPads and iPhones in their hands. And I'm like, what is that going to, like...
And that's all we know right now. I mean, tomorrow it's going to be VR goggles and all that stuff, you know? And it's like...
Oh, my gosh,
You know, and they're constantly connected like this.
Yeah.
They don't get to really enjoy life. I think there's a lot of... entitlement, sense of entitlement, I think, with
definitely.
A lot of young people.
You can get everything with an app now.
Right.
You can do anything you like with an app, which is crazy. I grew up with the Nokia, I don't know how you pronounce it in English, the phone with Snake, and the only thing you could do with your phone was send a little text and play Snake, you know? And everything else, I mean, you probably grew up without phones at all, like cell phones, but I'm just saying the transition, the difference is crazy.
It is.
It evolves really so fast, it really worries me.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. And then we talk about shows like that predict the near future and they don't look very good, you know. We were talking about do you watch any TV, any shows at all? Do you have time for it?
Yes, I love I'm not so much of a movie person, but I watch a lot of TV.
You love a lot of TV.
Yeah.
What about Black Mirror on Netflix? Have you been watching that at all?
I watch a lot of Netflix shows, but I haven't watched this
one. Okay, so let me tell you. I'll just give you an example.
Yeah.
Okay, because we talked about the a couple episodes before, but for those of you who haven't, Black Mirror is a show, it's a series, but each episode stands on its own.
Right.
Like the Twilight Zone, but for modern days. Uh-huh. So there's like twists. It makes all kinds of like analysis of people's. It analyzes through a fascinating story, but it shows you people's nature, human nature, things like that, things we have to deal with. So let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid, they show you going into his room with his computer. He turns on it. His computer freezes after his sister uses it.
Mm-hmm.
He restarts it. He gets a message, you have malware on your computer. You have a virus.
Yes.
And so he like looks, he goes, and casually goes on Google, downloads a malware remover, press that, doesn't know what it is or anything, just presses that, and bam, everything's okay, right?
Right.
Then he's ready to go and start watching some porn on his computer. So they show him like pulling up the Kleenex box and just sort of like looking titillated. They're not going to show you, obviously, the details. Okay, and he starts masturbating in front of his computer. And as he's doing this, the camera zooms in on the laptop's camera. And now there's no green light or anything that shows the camera's working, right?
Okay.
But it just zooms in on the camera. All right, he gets done. As soon as he's done, he gets an email. Boing. He looks at it. He says... He gets an email.
Filmed.
He get an email with the video of himself
doing this,
and it says, "If you don't do what we tell you, we're going to release this to the whole world."
Okay. So
all right. Now you tell me, being faced with that, would you do what they asked you to do?
So it's so funny you mentioned this because I don't use the cloud.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have pictures anything in the cloud. I don't do that stuff.
No, but that's the thing. You don't want nude pictures of yourself anywhere.
No, I don't have nude pictures.
Right, that's what I'm saying. People don't get it.
But I'm just saying, any pictures of myself or even my family, my little nephews and nieces, like, I don't want them on the cloud.
Right.
I don't know why. I just don't like it.
You're feeling that you want to retain some privacy.
100%. I don't. I mean, I know that the cloud is supposedly the safest thing in the world, blah, blah, blah.
But it's not, no.
But you can only really trust yourself. I do not trust the cloud.
Right.
So,
things in the cloud exist just so you don't have to carry all the data with you. That's pretty much it.
Carry all the data, buy a new external hard drive.
Right.
I'll spend the extra money on that. I do not want to be on the cloud.
Right. There you go. Now, do you buy things online? With the credit card?
Oh my gosh. I know. I shouldn't be doing that, but all I ever do is online shop.
Okay, so there you go. So they know your shopping habits. They know everything.
That's good. I like that the internet knows my shopping habits because now when I get ads on my computer, it's only ads that I actually want to watch.
That you care about, right?
I care about, and that's one of the good things about it.
Right, exactly. But you're forfeiting your privacy. In order to get that, because think of how many things they can learn about you, you know, how much money you're probably making if you're spending that kind of money, your behavior, what things you like, what you don't like. They can use shit to blackmail you with, believe me. But you don't try to provide anything. But look, going back to the show, the problem is, even if you don't put anything online, he didn't. He was just sitting in front of his computer and watching some porn.
Yeah, even if you don't put it out there, it's still out there.
Because there's viruses, and that's what happened to him on his computer. He installed that that malware remover, and that actually made his camera slave to somebody else.
But you know what? It kind of teaches you. I mean, I don't know.
What does it teach you?
Teach you cover
your friggin' camera.
Don't have anything to hide.
Right.
Don't do anything that you wouldn't want others to know about.
Exactly. But come on, masturbate in private. Everybody does.
Okay, I can't really.
Okay, most people. But look, like you have devices like Alexa from Amazon. And
oh, yeah,
things
I don't like
that,
Alexa.
Right? Okay, do you have Siri? On your phone?
I still can't get used to people talking to their Siris. I think they're crazy.
Right. But so you turned yours off on the phone? It's
not off, but I just never use it.
Okay, but you know that if it's not off, then it's listening all the time. Because do you have an iPhone? Okay. Say, hey, Siri.
Should I try it now?
Yeah.
Hey, Siri.
Did it come on?
Well, clearly it doesn't understand what I'm saying.
That's okay, but it's listening, right?
Yeah, it's listening.
Okay.
It's crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They could record everything you're saying.
It's fine. My Siri's dumb. It didn't understand.
No, that's okay. But what I'm saying is hackers can get into the Apple servers. I mean, when Jennifer Lawrence's pictures were released, that was not
poor
they didn't even get it from her phone. It was from her Apple account on the cloud.
Yeah, it was. That's what made me not trust the cloud.
Right. So you can't put anything there. But believe me, when you have your iPhone, most of the stuff you use, even the things you tell Siri, even you text it, the autocorrect, it learns from the cloud. It learns from collectively.
Yeah,
from
it learns
everybody.
How you type, what you say,
right.
And also I remember. I do this thing now, and I know it sounds really horrible to say it, but when people text me and say stuff about other people, I ask them to call me. And even if the call record, I don't like sharing things.
So you really take steps to preserve your privacy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because I really put myself out there on social media. Like, I live stream. I'm big on live streaming, and that I share a lot on social media.
Right.
And I'm aware of that, but it's stuff that I want to share.
Right.
The stuff that I don't want out there, I keep them within me, and they're not on my phone.
Right.
I'm conscious about it, but a lot of people aren't. And I know that a lot of, you know, businessmen, and they have all their emails like that. It is a very scary thought.
Right.
It's scary.
Absolutely. You know, but the thing is, if you're not safe behind closed doors in your own home, if you don't have privacy there, then we don't have democracy anymore.
It's a scary world.
We don't have freedom anymore.
Yeah.
You know. So the lesson from all this, don't install anything you don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Cover your cameras. You can have, you can get these things. Cover it with anything, really.
Do you have any tape. Tips to, like, because you, obviously you've watched the show.
Not only that, but also to, I've read books on hacking and on, and security, online security, and things like that.
Yeah.
And the reality is, you can't do anything anonymously anymore, because there's cameras everywhere. People can always track you back to where it started. You know.
Yeah.
And so you got to remember, you know, everything you do when you leave your house is not private. But then when you watch a show and you realize even the private things are not private, that scares me, because where's the world going? You know.
Yeah. And, you know, with all these terrorist attacks now, it makes you think, like, people know where you are. People know what you're doing. You're not safe. I was going to ask you, what are some little things that we can do to prevent, like, to keep a minimum of privacy, you know, being so dependent on our computers and iPhones and stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have answers
you
to
don't
that.
Know.
Because all I can tell you is, look, you can do, you can use, like, there's like anonymous browsers, like how to browse the internet, pretty much. That's the way that you protect yourself.
Right.
But it makes things a lot slower. Mm-hmm. You have to understand how it works. And, you know, there's in that dark net is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Google. There's no none of that. It's all like illegal shit and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So, but as far as... yeah, you know, you can say, well, okay, so I'll get a prepaid phone, I'll get a prepaid credit card.
Yeah.
I can do anything, you know.
But then you
can't
live like a normal person with those things.
Right, but let's say you wanted to commit a crime or something, right? So
they're
saying, okay, but they would say, so let's say you use prepaid everything, nobody would know, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that they'll still have you on video at Walmart buying that phone and that credit card. So how do you avoid that, right? So the only way you can do this, be really anonymous, is if you find somebody outside of Walmart, pay them about 10, 20 bucks, tell them you go buy me the phone and that credit card. Comes out, you're never on video, and that's they can't trace the phone and the
I wouldn't want to get on your bad side.
Right? You see, I've read books, but...
You have the mind of a terrorist.
Right? Not a terrorist, but...
I'm joking.
No, but it's because I read the book by... Yeah. His name is Mitnick. What's his first name? It'll come to me in a second. But he was like the biggest hacker ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written a few books. He's become like a security expert. And the reason I read his book is because I want to know how to protect myself.
You want to know how they're thinking. Exactly. So you know what to do.
That's what hackers turn security experts are.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when they're caught, they go to jail, those hackers. I wouldn't even know how to hack anything. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I know a lot about computers, but I've never gone that deep. Not that I want to, and I'm not that technical anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, my knowledge sort of like ends
you
somewhere.
Know, I think you know a lot.
I do.
I've learned not enough to
hack anybody, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah, hacking is a whole... Not many people know how to hack.
Right, yeah. But yeah, so the future is kind of scary for our kids, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And what are your thoughts about stuff? Because I do a lot of it. I wanted to ask you, live streaming.
Yeah.
I do a lot of
like
live
video, you mean?
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is live streaming too. We're just doing it in audio right now.
Yeah, I do it in video. Yeah.
Right.
I can do it outside my house.
So what do I think about it? What do you mean? As far as like exposing yourself to the world?
Yeah.
Look, it's a decision you make. You know, it's a decision you make.
Yeah.
You can't undo it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're out there, you're out there. And even when you said you're not doing anything embarrassing or anything, but you become a public figure.
Yeah.
So you become an easy target for trolls, for, you know,
definitely.
Criminals, stalkers, whatever. So, but at the same time, this is the currency of today's... talent.
But
you know?
Also, what I want to say, what I want to add to that,
yes.
is that I, for example, live stream. I know a ton of people who do YouTube, who do Instagram, who do social media. And, you know, do you remember what happened with Ariana Grande's concert in Manchester and the terrorist attacks in London? These people were a target. But, you know, these people weren't necessarily live streaming and they still weren't safe.
Right.
So... Yeah, people live stream and people put their lives out there and they're a target for terrorists and trolls, but nothing happened to me that day and
right.
it happened to these poor other people who probably weren't live streaming. So you're not safe no matter what you do,
right,
I feel.
Right, so you're not going to let fear get in the way of doing what you want to do.
No, I think that a lot of people have been saying that if you live in fear, you let the people who do that win.
Right.
And yeah, I think it's a great thing that Ariana Grande went back and did another concert. I think that's exactly what... I mean, obviously, don't do stupid things online and don't be unsafe.
Right.
But we have to live, you know?
Yeah.
We kind of have to fight for our freedom as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. And that's why we have to keep fighting terrorism wherever it is.
Yeah.
And bring our freedom back, you know.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
But trolls, yeah, I do get upset when right? trolls start writing really horrible things.
Right.
That's never nice.
Right.
Do you get trolls on here?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you mean on the show itself?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't.
That's awesome.
People have respect, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we did get that when we had a little sensation with the station here,
mm-hmm.
because we were connected to a famous person,
mm-hmm.
That did a show here, and they got caught up in a little scandal online. So then we were dragged into it.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking trolls on our page. A lot.
Wow.
A lot. So... So you have to, from both sides, you know, so people are like fucking crazy, you know.
Yeah,
everybody's got to say something, everybody's got an opinion, and you
these
know
people
fuck
would
them,
never
I'm
tell
interested.
You to your face. That's
right.
What annoys me so much about trolls. If it was to your face, they'd probably be so nice to you and right. be like, let's meet for coffee, like so LA, you know.
They don't have the balls yeah. to do that.
No,
yeah,
and
in real
just
life.
Because they're behind a screen and they can type, they feel that, as you said, entitled. They feel like they can just do whatever they want.
Right. And it's not even anonymous anymore. You know, I mean, now on Facebook, you can tell who's being the troll.
Yeah, but
you know?
Just because
and
you're
still
behind a screen,
yeah.
they feel like it's okay.
I know,
it's
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It is, you know, because it's the world has become virtual. It's not real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my God, you know, I talk to my kids. This is what my daughter tells me. Okay, she's 27.
Okay.
Hold on. I had to get some coffee here.
Yeah.
Because my throat gets dry sometimes. But So my daughter says, I told her, I said, well, I wish you'd pick up the phone more. And she's like, I don't talk on the phone. I said, what do you mean? She says, you know, my best friend, you know, she lives up north, right?
Yeah.
She says, I haven't talked to her in a year and a half, yet we text every day, all the time.
Are they, does she live abroad?
What's that?
They don't live in the same place.
No, but she lives up in Northern California.
Right, okay.
Right, right. So, no phone. No phone, just texting.
Do you know what's funny about that story?
Yeah.
Is that I always try to call my dad, and he's like, no, text me. I'm busy at work.
Well, that's
funny. Because of the time difference, because he's in Switzerland. My parents are in Switzerland. And a lot of people don't want to talk on the phone anymore. But when he calls me, I'm like, sorry, I'm driving.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, you got to make a connection with people. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And some things you just can't say in text. I don't know, the tone, the
inflection. Emojis now.
I know. But no, I mean, I don't know, man. It's not,
not
how you communicate, for crying out loud.
But, you know, I live so far away from my family. They're in Switzerland and I'm in L.A. And yeah, technology is bad for communication, but if it weren't for technology, I would have no relationship with my family right now because I FaceTime them every single day.
Right, but look, phone is technology too. I wouldn't say that you're not being using the latest technology if you talk on the phone. And there's a place for texting too, but
but
I don't see texting as being like a means for a meaningful, long conversation.
100%. And you know when, like, couples argue over text?
Right.
That's,
you know,
like the worst thing.
I know. It's like, come on, man. Let's talk about it, you know?
But sometimes it's so much easier
and you can't
to do
type
it
so
via
fast.
Text.
I know, but it makes people like cowards, you know?
They just don't want to face it in real life. I feel like when couples argue over text, they annoy each other more because you're like, oh, I want to say something.
I know, and you want to type it really fast.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather talk, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I have a mouth on me. I can talk.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, right?
That's why we're here.
Exactly. Oh, wow. So, Switzerland, that's interesting. So, is that where you were born and then raised?
Yes. So, I'm from my dad is English. My whole family is English on my dad's side. They're from London. But my parents met in Switzerland and they decided to live there. So, I was born there. And I lived there, and I also lived in London.
Okay. So, and your mom is from where?
So my mom has a crazy story.
Oh.
She's Italian, but she's actually from Rhodes in Greece.
Okay.
The island.
The island.
The islands. And what happened was, because of the war and the Holocaust, her family moved to Congo in Africa. So for three generations, her family's from Congo. So she was born there and she lived there.
Oh,
and she speaks the language.
Wow.
And then because of the war in Congo, she was sent to boarding school in Switzerland, which is where she met my dad.
Wow. So she's grown up in war.
Yeah. She's
with
just,
war.
So my mom is like so, I don't know, she has so much like wisdom and life experience. She's lived in so many places,
right?
And but at the same time, she's like, she got married when she was 18. She has so many. My mom's amazing.
Yeah, my mom got married at 18 too, you know.
Wow.
Yeah,
crazy.
She had me at 19, but that's how it was back then, you know.
Yeah.
So now wow, that's interesting to go as far as the Congo to get away from the war.
Yeah.
Wow.
They moved out there with nothing, living in a hut, you know, because they had to escape. And yeah, my mom was born there, and I love that about her, is that she knows what it's like to live not in Europe or not in the US. She's seen a lot more than most of us.
Like the Western world and stuff.
The Western world, 100%. And, you know, it does make a difference. Like, I see that my mom, you know, now she's a housewife and she loves her life, but she is always so grateful for things. She always knows how to treat people nicely. She's always nice to everyone. Like, I feel like she has more respect and she's more grateful for things than most people who, you know, that's what I...
Because she's seen both sides of it.
She's seen both sides.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And your parents met in Switzerland then?
Yes. My mom was in boarding school. She was so young. They met in a nightclub.
Really?
I know.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I know. They're really fun parents.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah.
So, and your dad was probably, oh, I found this hot Italian, you know, let me marry her, right?
Well, if you want the gossip.
Well, whatever you can tell us, you know.
They met in a nightclub, and I think my dad was a bit of a player back in the day.
Oh, okay.
And so he wasn't like... He'll deny it because he's an English gentleman.
Right.
But I think that he wasn't all that nice to her in the beginning and played a bit hard to get.
Really?
But eventually, within 6 months, they were like, we need to get married.
Wow.
How cute. Cool.
So now, as far as siblings, do you have any?
Yes, I have an older sister who's 4 years older than me.
Okay.
She's a lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she has two kids.
I think every Jewish family has to have at least one lawyer.
Right. Has to happen.
Not in my family,
I'm
though.
I'm so glad it wasn't me, though.
Well, so she's a lawyer, okay.
She's a lawyer.
Where does she live now?
She lives in Switzerland.
Okay.
And she has a great husband, great kids. And then I have a younger brother who's 4 years younger than me. And he studies science and pharmaceuticals and urology. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what, because it's so not my type of thing. But he's very intelligent.
Really?
And amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is he still studying yet, or is he working in it already?
He's just finishing his studies, and I think he's like doing an internship and getting loads of experience now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's what my son actually, he's graduating soon in biochemistry. I'm like,
that's what my brother did.
Really?
Yeah.
Biochemistry. So they want to be like pharmaceutical, right?
Yeah, they want
whatever
to
the fuck they want to do. I'm like, what are you gonna be? Obviously a scientist, but what are you gonna like mix drugs and make like, you know, medicine and stuff? She says, I guess, yeah. You know, like
find new things to cure us.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I can picture him in a lab like Breaking Bad or something.
That's a dark thought.
Right.
That is such a dark thought. I don't want to picture my brother doing that.
Right. But I know, but think about it. I mean,
they have the potential.
They do, right?
I'd like to think that my brother is going to find a cure for everything.
Mm.
He's already found a cure for me, like, panicking about random things. I call him and he just calms me down all the time. So I hope he's one of the good guys.
So you guys are close.
I'm so close to my family.
Very nice.
Are you close to your family?
Very.
That's
very
great.
Close, yeah.
Is it a Jewish thing?
Maybe. I think it is a Jewish thing.
Me too.
When they ask how Jews have survived, I think one of the most important things is family.
Yeah.
You know, and culture and
being
the group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because, in Israel, social life is so different from here.
Yes.
People are so much closer. Not necessarily more polite, on the contrary.
No.
But maybe that's because...
The service there is so bad.
Right? You know, but maybe that's one of the good things. You know, it's like everything's so direct. Everybody's so direct.
Yeah.
They don't beat around the
bush.
What
you see is what you get in Israel. I feel like Israel very much tries to be like a small United States, like America.
Right.
But in America, it's like, hi, you're so pretty. And in Israel, it's like, hi, what do you want from me?
Yeah. Oh, you gained some weight? What happened?
Yeah.
Like, people would say that.
You're pregnant? No. I've just put on weight.
I know. My dad has made that mistake a couple of times. I told him,
it's
horrible. Dad, don't ever ask somebody if they're pregnant.
That's like the one thing you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
Israelis will just do it and not care.
They will. They'll tell you.
And then be like, oh, sorry, you've put on weight. Well, that's great. You look super healthy. Worse.
Well, so you figured out the Israelis at least a little bit. Right?
Yeah. But the thing is, even though they're more direct and more abrupt, it just makes you feel at home.
Right. You know,
there's
no bullshit.
Exactly.
Right?
No time for bullshit.
Exactly. Who's got time for bullshit?
Yeah.
People think they might die the next day, die tomorrow with all the fucking war. I mean, think how I remember sitting there at my parents' patio, looking at the sky and going, God, we're so friggin' vulnerable. All you need is a few missiles, you know?
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
And so, but that's why Israel has had the need to always be the best with military and defense.
Yes.
And I'm reading a book now called The Weapon Wizards, about how Israel actually became a military superpower. Mm-hmm. Not just a power, a superpower in military.
Yeah.
And think of this small, little, seemingly insignificant country. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look on the globe, it's so small you can't even put your finger on it without covering the whole area.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's ridiculous.
But as you said, it's so vulnerable, but at the same time, being vulnerable is what makes you stronger. Like, I feel like, you know, even as a people, when we're vulnerable, that makes us able to actually deal with things better because we're, you know, we know what we're dealing with.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And so Israel is in a vulnerable place, but they're like, this is our position. This is what we need to do to...
Exactly. We do whatever it takes, you know.
Yeah.
So Israel will always have the better missiles, the better weapons.
They're prepared. They're just prepared.
Because otherwise it means annihilation.
All these other countries are having all these terrorist attacks and they're just not prepared for them because they're not in that vulnerable position.
Because they're not... Well, they're not facing their threat the way it is. Head on.
Exactly.
Head on.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Well, we're almost out of time.
Yeah. That's sad. I enjoy this.
You did, huh?
This is so fun. You have the best job in the world.
I know. I told you. So, yeah. And that's the thing. You know, if you don't have the dream job, make it. Make it. Make one. 100%. Make it happen, you know. And you're doing your video streaming and stuff. Tell people a little how they can find you, how they can follow you, how they can watch your stuff.
So I'm on social media. You can find me on Instagram, which is my name, Diana Espier, DianaEspir. I'm on everything. I do sometimes like little YouTube videos of my life in LA to keep my family, you know, up to date with what I'm doing. You can find me. I do sometimes Facebook live streaming, and I'm also on this app called Live Me, and I stream my life and I just share my adventures with everyone.
Wow, Live Me. And how do people find you on there?
It's my name. All of my handles are my name, DianaEspir.
You can
look for me.
Sounds good. Well, I'm going to start following. I'm really curious now to see all the things that you're showing there and stuff. You probably have a lot to say, as you've shown.
This job I had to pick because of my inability to shut up.
Yeah.
Unable to shut up.
Well, Diana, thank you so much for joining us.
You're a lot of fun.
Of course.
That was so great.
And thanks to all the listeners for sticking around with us, folks. It's nice to move on. I have new energy here and everything. Of course, a million times already, I wished Tori all the most success in the world because she deserves it. And so that's it for this week, folks. Have a great weekend, and thanks again.
Enjoy, guys. Thank you again.
See you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.